Okay, there we have it. That is John Waller, and that's from John's brand new CD, which is titled, I'm all tangled up here in the CD myself, but it's called Life is a Gift, and that was the title track from that brand new CD, and that is also the theme music that was played last night during the First Do No Harm premiere of the brand new short film that's just coming out. Mark Cochran did an excellent job of pulling all that together and all of the other pieces along with that. By the way, John Waller said last night that he has 9 children. I just got to tell you very quickly how he ended up with 9 children. I know you say, well, we know how that works, Pastor. But no, there's a little bit of a story here to this. He was over in the Ukraine. And while he was over there in the Ukraine, he was looking into adopting a single child from over in the Ukraine. But the Ukraine has a unique situation where if there's siblings of the child, you have to meet with the siblings of the child and so forth. And so he was then meeting with the siblings of the child before he could adopt the one, and then decided to go ahead and adopt the 2 siblings as well. Now, his wife had sent him over there to bring one child back. He was now, contacted her and said, honey, I've got a little surprise for you. I'm going to be bringing back 3 children with me. So when he gets back home, his wife says, honey, I got a little surprise for you. I'm pregnant. And so they instantly had 4 more children, and so that's how they got the 9 so quickly. And so we got to meet all 9 of the children were there yesterday as well, and so we got to meet them, and he just did a wonderful job in the concert that he put on, a little mini concert there for us. And by the way, video for that concert, or for that song, was actually produced right here in Greenville by Mark Cochran and our own Jim Moline, who films the radio broadcast. Normally, he's out of town today, but he normally films that for us. Last night, as the film ended, and there was a number of other parts of the film that different connecting parts with adoption and with abortion and so forth, the pro-life message. One of the folks that had an opportunity to speak, or I should say 2 of the folks that had an opportunity to speak, maybe even 3 of the folks that had an opportunity to speak, was a family, the Robertson family. I'd said Robertson, but it's Robertson family. They were able to stand up for a couple minutes and tell their story about how they are connected to this issue. And Tim stood up for a couple minutes and spoke, and then Kelly spoke, and then Lee had an opportunity to speak for a couple minutes as well. And a number of people in the audience were really moved by their story. And so I had a chance to catch them really quickly afterwards and say, hey, if you're going to be still here in town, would you come on over to the studio and just recount that story for our listening audience? And so they've been so gracious to do that. And so, Kelly, you're up first. First of all, we're just going to talk with Kelly and Lee first here on the broadcast. Kelly, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Let me say that.
Hi, Pastor Kevin. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. And Lee is also here. So, Lee, thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you, Pastor Kevin.
let me go ahead and start with Kelly. Kelly is Lee's mom. Mm-hmm. And, Kelly, start from how you're related to this issue and what's your story? What happened?
Sure. Well, I grew up in the Greenville area and went to a Christian school, a wonderful Christian school, Southside Christian. Mm-hmm. Just had a great upbringing there. But along the way, I ended up, I spent my senior year at a public school. And just after I graduated from high school, just really got away from the Lord and mm-hmm. just started testing the waters and boundaries and doing all those kinds of things and basically ended up the end of the summer, I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know it. I actually went over to college. I was at Liberty University, actually. Mm. really wondering why the food tasted so bad. Everybody thought it tasted pretty good. I was thinking, what's going on here? And one thing led to another. I had, you know, an epiphany and just put two and two together and realized, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm pregnant. And just was absolutely terrified and pretty much went into, you know, containment mode. As a woman, I'm pretty much everything's out there. You know, we're spaghetti. We everything, you know, but I compartmentalized and was just terrified and got myself back to Greenville, you know, told my parents to come pick me up from school. And I was scared and just made every excuse to get here and had to figure out what I was going to do. I didn't actually tell them at the time. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely terrified. I knew what the right thing to do was, but I really wrestled with that. And that's why I say to people, I understand what it's like to be in that position. It's so scary. And I said to myself, really, I said, I have to make this go away. Mm. Thankfully, you know, the Holy Spirit lives within us and counsels us and guides us. And so through a lot of struggle, you know, I even ended up, I went to an abortion clinic actually in an afternoon, and they told me that I needed to come back the next day. And of course, I never went back. Thank God.
Mm. Was that in Virginia?
In Greenville.
Okay.
I just knew it's not the right thing. And I can't think of maybe one or two people that were saying, you can do this. I actually was saying only, basically it was me and God, like, you know, God and I sitting there alone in my room. Mm. And I said, I have to do this because it's the right thing to do, even though I don't know what it looks like on the other side of this, but I've got to take responsibility. And I've got to move forward, trusting that my life verse is Romans 8:28, that all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And and so that's the story of redemption. You know, all day long, we mess up all day long, and we're not perfect. Nobody is. And so, but God is always bringing things around for his glory. We don't need miracles if we can do it on our own, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, fast forward, ended up telling my parents, and I say this to people too. I've been trained in lay counseling before with the pregnancy centers, and Lena Neal and also a good friend of mine, Marley Ellenberg, mentored me. But just, you know, you got to be real. It's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to come out, and you're going to have to tell people. And yeah, it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. So you've got to really bolster that inner, you know, gird up your loins, as Ephesians says, Paul, mm-hmm. and just go for it, and know that God will be on our side when we do the right thing. And, you know, of course, repent and just, but God always works things out. And mm-hmm. so may not look like we think, but he does. And so,
How old were you at this time?
I was 18.
18 years old. Okay.
Yeah, almost unbelievable. And I'm 43 now. So it's amazing. It's a 25-year journey here almost. And I'm looking right across here, the chair from me, from the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. I remember being pregnant thinking God was going to punish me, you know, maybe. And he not only didn't punish me, he blessed me with my just most very favorite thing, Lee Robertson. And you know, and the thing is, her life goes on to be a blessing to other people. Mm. And so I guess that's part of our testimonies. We just want to share that it is scary to be gentle with the women that get into trouble like this. It happens. We hope that it doesn't. You know, it's the choice, and I've said this before. I mean, quite frankly, the choice for women, I think they've been sold a lie. The choice is not to have a life or not. The choice is for us to actually, whether we're having, honestly, to be frank, sex or not. That's the choice. Mm-hmm. So we have intercourse. There's the choices out the way, several steps ahead. Once you do that, that actually generally does lead to children. It's kind of right. both, you right. know, I know that's a crazy concept, yeah, but right. actually that's actually pretty true for, you know, and so that's where the choice happens. And I guess I would love to speak into women's lives and just also into men's life and say, you know, stand up
right.
for what's right and don't slide into that gray line. And even single adults out there to say, you know, we can wait. And it's God's heart for that,
mm-hmm.
and to just speak the truth to each other. But in that, he does work things for the good, and just very thankful. And so, you know, went on to finish college, very thankful for that. My parents were supportive. It was hard, a couple mm-hmm. of weeks. My father didn't speak to me, you sure. know, and I'm a daddy's girl, so mm-hmm. it broke my heart. But we worked through that. We are the very most best friends. You know, dad mm-hmm. is always there. Mom's there. Family has to stick together. Mm-hmm. We have to love each other through crisis.
Amen. So there's no sense in alienating people and, you know, realizing, hey, sin has been committed. Let's deal with the sin. But there is forgiveness.
Absolutely.
With God. And we did a study throughout Hebrews, and one of the areas that we got to was the red heifer. And nobody knows much about the red mm-hmm. heifer, but what the red heifer spoke about was the ongoing cleansing that there is in Christ, that mm-hmm. there was the sacrifice, you know, that the sin offering and so forth that was there in the Old Testament, but they also carried around with them the ashes of the red heifer. And so one spoke of the once-for-all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ or his death on the cross, but the second one speaks about that ongoing cleansing that we need.
Yes.
They would carry it with them when they went throughout the desert as mm-hmm. they traveled, and as the dust gathered onto them, you know, this was the cleansing that was used. If they mm-hmm. became defiled in any ways, this was the means of cleansing. So it makes mm-hmm. me think of the verses where it says, if we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, if any man sins, you know, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and so forth. So there is ongoing cleansing, and so we need to realize that. We don't make light of sin,
of course,
but we deal with it
right.
And let people know that there is forgiveness with our God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing I'd like to say, too, is just to encourage people to speak out about your story. We all have a testimony,
mm-hmm.
you know, and God didn't come to save the perfect. He came for the sinners, but, you know, that's just the story of redemption. And so whatever it is, alcoholism or hidden sin or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I like to say, let's turn the tables on the devil. Let's mm-hmm. turn the tables around and take what the enemy meant for harm and use it for good.
Amen.
And that's what God does all day long through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be ashamed. It's not ever easy. Even right now, almost 25 years later, you know, yeah, I'm a little nervous about it. And it's, mm-hmm. But it always helps. Because people need somebody to relate to. And mm-hmm. I will say, we are a statistic. Your story's never a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you what you've been through, somebody else has. And then if you can speak out about it, it will help them. It will be a hand reaching out, pulling them out of a ditch.
Amen. I wanted to ask you, you know, with such a compelling story, when you're counseling a girl who is thinking about going through with an abortion, and you can point to your daughter, Lee. You can say, hey, first of all, I've been there. I was 18 years old. I
right.
went through this. I know exactly what you're feeling. But let me tell you my story. That's got to be compelling and profound to a young woman faced with the very same thing. Have you had that
Absolutely.
Conversation?
All day long.
Mm.
Well, and this is a quick story I love to tell. Actually, I've been to several colleges, but actually I spent a year over at USC at Spartanburg, too. And
you visited a lot
strange.
Of schools.
I know. Yeah. I know. I just love to spread the love. I was working my way up. I had a plan. But I was there, and so they had this idea that they would ask people an initiation for mm-hmm. college entrance there. I just couldn't even believe it. All those people, there were about 30, 40 of us in the room, and they said, whoever believes in abortion, go stand on the left side of the room. And if you don't believe in abortion, go stand on the right side of the room.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, boy. You know, I've got a 2-year-old at home at this point.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, or maybe a 1-year-old. I can't quite remember. But I trucked over to the right side of the room or whatever, yeah. you know, and I turned around and, Oh, my goodness. I am the only one standing there with a herd of people, like, glaring at me like, yes. You are such a horrible person. You know, and I'm like, oh, and I start getting really nervous.
All that tolerant stuff.
Yeah, real tolerant. Yeah, I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so all I knew was my story, and that's what you have, you know. And so they actually, and then one of the teachers even came over and stood there with me, and she said, well, honey, I'm just going to stand with you so you don't feel so bad. I'm like, whatever, lady, you don't have to stand with me because, you know, I got Jesus too over here.
Amen.
So I'm like, and so they asked me, well, tell us why you, I mean, I felt like I was on trial, you know, 20 years old probably. And so I said, well, I mean, I went through that, and I have a child, and I have her at home, and I basically gave a little mini testimony.
Mm.
Wow, I'm not even kidding. I left there. I had like 8 girls come up to me and go, wow, I wish that I would have been able to go stand over there with you, but I was too afraid.
Mm.
And then they followed me all around campus, you know. But I mean, somebody's got to stand up, you know. But I was like, really? Oh, thank you, you know. And it made me feel better, but... It's amazing the things that happen.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah, what an ability then to silence folks that just have it in a theory in their mind. And like we said in the beginning, people have bought into a lie.
Right.
This is what's happening. They're buying into that this is not a real human being. This is something less than human. There's the value of humanity is not there, which is just a lie. And let's introduce the truth.
Amen.
Lee, you're a real person, aren't
you? I am. Hello, world.
Well, Lee, having grown up now with this story, what has this meant for you? I mean, do you now look at your life differently? As you know, we speak about a person being saved as a brand plucked from the fire. You know that we were children of wrath, and then God called us unto Himself. Mm-hmm. So that's true in our salvation. But then in actual life, you know, you were for a few moments, your mom was sitting in an abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. And now you know that story. Does this give you a renewed sense of purpose in life, or what does this do for you?
You know, for quite some time, I did struggle with even the fact that, you know, my biological father didn't want me, or, you know, mom was scared to have me. And I mean, I was in her stomach in an abortion clinic. Like, I was not wanted at one point.
Mm.
But then the choice was made. And luckily, I grew up in a loving family.
Mm.
And what the enemy meant for harm, God has turned into, you know, a wonderful redemption story. And life hasn't been easy. But I know there's a purpose for each and every one of us.
Mm.
And actually, just in the last couple of months, God has just been revealing to me that, you know, sometimes we compartmentalize,
mm-hmm.
and the world is so big that it's even hard to think about this, but people aren't numbers. Like,
right.
They're not numbers. They each have a story.
Amen.
And I have a story. You have a story. My mom, my grandparents, they have stories, and they're important. And we need to not be afraid to share them.
Mm-hmm.
It will change someone's life. And for me personally, hearing, you know, the biggest thing I've learned from my mom is perseverance, and that really life is a choice. And
mm-hmm.
whether, you know, I've struggled with depression in my life, and I chose at one point about 3 years ago, I choose God,
mm-hmm.
and I choose life. And I'm putting depression behind me, and I'm, you know, I love life. I love enjoying it. I'm getting married in June.
Yes.
The most amazing man. Hi, Max.
Max is an answer to prayer.
Yes, he is. So I...
Max, you got a lot to live up to.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure there, Max.
He's great. He's great. So I definitely believe there's a big purpose. I... right now feel like a little ant just because of all the amazing things God's been doing recently. It just makes you realize how small you are and how big He is.
Now, have you been able to share your story then, or this story, with somebody else, and in even more specifically, somebody who is contemplating abortion?
About a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. was in the Target bathroom stall with one of the girls that I mentored since she was 13 with her plus sign in her hand.
Oh, wow.
And we went out and sat on the curb and cried and prayed, and we prayed over that baby from right that moment, and she has the baby.
Oh, praise
and
the Lord.
We love that baby. Mm. And, you know, I praise God for that. And there's... I have more friends than I wish, but I do have quite a few friends that have children out of wedlock, but they love those children.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there for each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I've got lots of friends that are in the process of adopting.
Amen.
And it's important that as a church, you know, we look after those children. It's a calling.
Yes. There's a lot of interest right now in adoption throughout the evangelical world. And so churches are now even starting funds to help people in the church adopt. And evangelicals are really stepping up. Dan Kruver's here in town with Together for Adoption, puts on national conferences helping people to go through adoption. Number of folks there last night as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did in the film last night, you know, I the only one piece that I wish wasn't left hanging. I don't want to give away the plot or the ending of the story, but I was assuming that the girl who then went out and sat afterwards, who left the abortion clinic, was then going to have the janitor and his wife adopt the baby.
That would be awesome.
Did you guys think that was going to happen?
That would be really awesome.
But they left that hanging.
They did leave that hanging.
Yeah. She left the abortion clinic because of the janitor confronting the abortion doctor, of course, for our listeners' sake. And then, but I thought for sure now we're going to find that janitor sitting there and she's going to be like in their home. And then maybe there's where it was going to
end. Maybe
they'll
make another one for us.
I know. I think he set it up for a sequel, didn't he?
That would be great.
And it's going to be something like, you know, then telling your story
right.
of what happens then when the child is born and all the wonderful things. Max comes into their life.
Right?
All of these wonderful things that's happens right. in their life. They live life to the max.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen to
all
that.
Right. That's right.
Well, we're so happy for you guys. We're obviously happy the way that it worked out 20-some years ago.
Yes.
We're very pleased that you guys had the courage to stand up there last night and tell your story. I think in the size of the group that was there last night, where we're talking maybe 500 people in both the two showings, mm-hmm. or maybe more, there's probably girls in there that, you know, statistically, mm-hmm. we would say, have either gone through an abortion or, you know, have contemplated it. And I just pray to God that God would use your story in order to save the life of another little one. Life is precious to us. You can only imagine how precious it is to Almighty God. If you want to find out more about the film, you can go out to www.fdhnfilm.com. That's fdhnfilm.com. And out there you can find out more about, you know, how you can get a copy of this film and show it in your church. Hey, by the way, let me give you a quick website to go out and check out, too. We didn't get to talk about it, but on Facebook, facebook.com/witness sightings. That's what their dad, or Kelly's dad, is involved in these witness sightings. You can check it out there. Remember this, and all the things that we talk about, remember this. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.